Blog Talk Radio.
Enlightenment with Lou Wild Dev. I am one of the many groups that are on Late Night Poets. That is the group that is sponsoring all these fabulous radio shows, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. And just to let you know, this the radios are sponsored by donations by all these wonderful poets from around the world, which books that were printed by Jane. And you can find them on Amazon, and they are titled Late Night Poets Anthology, just like our group. So check us out. They make beautiful gifts. So now I'm going to get, and I want to congratulate Jane for our group being in the top 10 link. So kudos to her. Okay, so let's pick up some callers. Hi, Katie.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I am doing okay. And how about yourself?
Well, I've calmed down a little. The god of the radios was not happy with me today. He wasn't going to let me in, but I'm in.
Oh, well, don't worry about that because anyone let me in either. I panicked 2 minutes before the show. I was trying and trying and trying. Oh. And then what do? You got to call the boss lady. Help! help.
And luckily, so she's always able to help.
Yes, and she's quick at it, and it always works. Welcome to the show, Katie. And also, I'd like you to welcome caller 585, and that has got to be our sexy dairy wife, the rat.
Bonsoir, Lulu. Bonsoir, Katie.
Bonsoir. Hola.
Oh, bonsoir.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Mm-hmm. So tonight we are still all month running front page poetry, and then second hour we're doing open poetry with our readers. So we are going to get started. So let's go, Katie.
No problem. I'm just getting myself organized, and here I am. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Potato Eaters by Brian T. Duffield. Now, Laurent, could I ask you to read this, please?
Yes, you may. Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Potato Eaters, Brian Duffield. The mounds are furrows turned by plowing horse, like office dike that fortifies the land, aligns the rows amongst the heather's gorse. Above the crop, their olive tendrils stand, with arcing stems in autumn sunlight gleam. But whitened flowers bloom where tubers grow. My finger drills a dark and peaty seam beneath the pebbled skin that appears to glow. The hovel stands beyond the working field, where labor, toil, and trouble grow apace. An amber lamp above potatoes peeled reveals a painted group that toiled we face. Yet sepia belies a brighter tone, for gilded feasts from this edge bemoaned. End poem.
That is such a fabulous, fabulous read, Laurent. I really enjoyed this poem by Brian, Potato Eaters, how he describes, you know, how they grow. And, you know, I like this poem because we used to plant potatoes with my mom, and just the smell of the soil and the stem flowering, and it's just something ground, how it just enriches you. And I thought that he enriched his hair with this poem. This was absolutely, I really enjoyed it, even though a lot of people, that's all they had to eat. And that's what they could grow. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I think this was wonderful. I really enjoyed this. It's got a satisfaction of growing potatoes is incredible. I mean, because there's nothing much to look at. You just keep mounding up the earth,
mm-hmm.
and they're growing
mm-hmm.
underneath there. Then you see the little white flowers. Oh, lovely. And then you get the, then comes the day when you get to stick your shovel in there. It is wonderful. It is the most amazing feeling. And suddenly all these little potatoes, or big potatoes even sometimes, are wonderful. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, I really, really enjoyed it. It took me back to gardening with my dad. And it was a lovely
memory. You know,
so thank you, Brian.
I think gardening, I don't think the food, it doesn't taste the same as I remember growing up, you know, picking peaches and apples and you know, growing potatoes and asparagus, and you know, I thought everything tasted so much better then too, and I did enjoy gardening with my mother. What did you think about this poem, Laurent, that you read?
I really liked it because he not only touches on potatoes and gardening and the obvious rewards of that, but refers to a hovel standing beyond the working field for labor, toil,
yeah.
and trouble at a pace, despite the success of the potato crop. They lived a mean life.
Yes, they did.
A life without much. So those last two lines, that sepia belies a brighter tone, where gilded feasts, hunger's edge, bemoan, they have the potatoes, and how much nicer, how much better would it be to have more? Great piece.
Exactly. Yes, thank you. And that's how we survived, too, with my mom and our gardening. That's how we ate. Thank you, Laurent. And you did a great job in reading it. Okay, Katie, we're ready for the next one.
Okay. Next one, The Massacre at Wounded Knee. And it has a SoundCloud.
Okay, let me, Grace's not here, so let me see if I can do it. in just a second, please. Which is the poet that
it's
the song that you put up?
Yes, my
okay.
Sure.
And here we go.
The massacre at Wounded Knee, December 1890. Lakota warriors' faces painted red with blackened eyes, war paints, white vertical stripes connecting heaven and earth, dance in leather, rawhide moccasins, breechcloths and full-feathered headdresses. Ghost dance unnerves the white settlers. Icy waters trickle along Wounded Knee Creek. Storms stir the muddied waters where Major Samuel Whiteside's regiment of the 7th Cavalry leads Chief Spotted Elk in the Miniconjou Lakota near Porcupine Butte, away from the reservation and the ghost dance ceremonies. Ominous gray clouds disarm themselves. Snow falls upon the high plains. Meanwhile, the remainder of the 7th Cavalry, led by Colonel Force, encircle the makeshift camp by the Cascading Creek to execute the disarmament of the Lakota tribesmen at sunrise. Rifles at the ready, Hotchkiss guns sit north, south, east, and west. The brazen sun rises to stifle the rebellious cold. Impatient troops move like buffalo stampeding, ready to disarm the Indian warriors. The warriors outnumbered stand in the brisk morning air outside their teepees, staring down the rifle barrel, surrendering their arms. Black Coyote, deaf and confused, does not understand, simply refuses as his rifle cost him a great deal. An old Lakota man just feet away starts chanting and dancing, a ghost dance, a prayer to rid the Indians of the white invaders, chanting, dancing, singing. A soldier grabs Black Coyote's gun. It goes off. Panic stirs as 30 caliber bullets whiz like bees flying by an ear as the soldiers shoot once, then a series of blasts before the Hotchkiss guns spray, dropping bodies into the gulch. Warriors, children, women holding babies, spring to foot, running into the ravine. The volley of lead hums a solemn song in the gray morning light as snowflakes fall to the ground to make a blanket for the dead bodies. Frozen on the cold, the unforgiving ground of history. Massacre by Wounded Knee Creek, where the Lakota are buried in a mass grave. 300 spirits planted in the South Dakota soil as the roots of the tribal tree are uprooted.
I want to thank Sharp for that excellent poem on Native American history. You know, the ghost dances he was speaking about, was they believed that it was a ritual dance. And they believed that when they were dancing that it would drive the white people off the tribal lands and the way of their life. And we know that later that Sitting Bull was central to the uprising that crushed the Battle of Wounded Knee. And I thought he did this fantastically. I'm watching a Western right now on Prime Time, on Prime, called The English, and it's really good. It's made by the BBC, showing what was going on at this time in the way of life. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, so much wonderful research into this. I mean, and you know, you feel that you can trust every word that's been written here. None of this has been made up or, you know, anything. You know that this is factual, and I love that. I think that's, everybody needs to know the history of their world and of their land and of their people. And I think this was incredibly well done. And a wonderful read, too, which I thought was great. Every word so distinct, wonderful, really wonderful. And I enjoyed it a great deal. Thank you very much, S. Sharp, for that.
Yes, agreed. And how about you, Laurent? What did you think?
The volley of lead hums a solemn song in the gray morning light as snowflakes fall to the ground to make a blanket for the dead bodies frozen on the cold, unforgiving ground of history. This is a moving retelling of an awful moment in history. The author relates the events concisely, yet with an emotional depth that really moved this reader. Well done.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And thank you, Scott. And Katie, we are ready for our next front page pick.
Okay. Next one is The Old Way by Melanie Edwards. And I will read this one. So I'm sorry. I'll apologize ahead of time. The Old Way. Heads rise devotionally in praise, while tongues greedily lick fire in noon's embrace. Shaved heads slowly lower, dark eyes close together, when stars and moon spill the secrets of a naked sky. Bare feet once lightly danced upon the earth, when rivers run dry, drums once beat sparks from the dirt, and bursting harvests fell from every golden branch. I wander aimlessly in that twilight between two worlds, lost between night and day, harvest and famine, life and death, ancient and modern. And I yearn in my pale skin for the old ways retold on yellowed pages, on dusty shelves, of how sacred songs were once chanted and floated on a breeze under a temple of stars. End poem.
Oh, that was such a beautiful read, and this is such a beautiful poem by Melanie. You know, I do also crave for the lost, you know, the long time, long days ago, and especially her ending stanza where you read, I yearn in my pale skin for the old ways retold on the yellow pages on dusty shelves of how sacred songs were once chanted and floated on the breeze under a temple of stars. Oh, my God, the imagery there is just spectacular. What did you think, Laurent?
As good as the piece was, and it was very good, he hands us a last stanza that could stand alone. I agree with you totally on your quoting of that particular piece. And I yearn in my pale skin. I love the way she approached, the way she was going to identify herself as different from what she yearned for. It's a beautiful poem, but that last stanza, wonderful.
I agree. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, beautifully written, wasn't it? Really, you could feel the emotion in this. Sad, but full of pride. Wishing for things that meant so much and wishing the old ways would come back. I think that's wonderful. And yes, that last stanza, I was only a little bit worried if I'd read it incorrectly, the penultimate stanza. I wasn't very sure if I read I wander aimlessly, but I don't know, perhaps she meant I wander aimlessly. So I'm not sure, but either way it works. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just a pedant. Ignore me. Please, please, please ignore me, Melanie. I didn't mean it.
I think it might have been intended to be wander.
Aimlessly in that. Yes, yes. Thank you so much. You're right. Well, I can stop worrying now. That's good. I didn't read it wrong. Okay, thank you. And I thought it was beautifully emotive, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I did too. Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
Okie dokie. We have Interiors by Jack Tomkovic. Laurent, would you read this, please?
With a great deal of pleasure. Interiors, Jack Tomkovic. The happiness of my smart, dark, other body, when gazing at you, is amazing as a roller coaster ride, pulse pounding, solid as the bite of a hand axe, the newly cut oak, as aromatic as sawing spruce and cedar. Interiors, insides, rings and trees. Are you then the sawmill of my center, reaping, harvesting a crop beyond value? Who can say no? Not me. End poem.
He writes such beautiful love poetry for his wife. He says in his author's notes, marriage is this fabulous marinade of flavors you won't think blend but do. It makes a delicious stew of love. And I thought that was, you know, he does. I loved where, you know, he talks about when he gazes at her, her heart feels as if a roller coaster, that feeling that somebody just makes your heart go up and down. And then I also liked, you know, how he described her as being aromatic, as sawing spruce and cedar, those rich smells that linger and remember in the air. This was a gorgeous love poem. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, sorry. I unmuted and muted myself again in one fell swoop. You. I've got this thumb that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, what a lovely thing to write to someone. How sweet is that? I like this so much because I really love wood. As aromatic as sawing spruce and cedar. Interiors, inside, rings and trees. That's just lovely. But yes, and again, we have that wonderful, that last stanza. Who can say no? Not me. Yeah, I thought it was absolutely lovely. I couldn't say no either. Thank you very much, Jack. It was a pleasure.
And what did you think of the poem? You did such a great job in reading it, Laurent. What did you think of Jack's love poem?
Yeah, I admire his love poetry, his ability at finding ever-changing metaphors to express his emotions, such as, are you then the sawmill in my center? I thought it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the imagery was fabulous. You know, I love the smell. It's something that lingers, and it brings back such fabulous memories. I agree with all of your fabulous comments. Okay, Katie, ready for our next?
Okay, we have Under a Sea of Midnight by Sapphire Rose. Oh, sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And Luyu, would you read this, please?
Yes, it'd be my pleasure. Under a Sea of Midnight by Sapphire Rose. Walking beneath a sea of midnight, you kiss me passionately under stars bright. Your gentle caress leaves a loving glow upon my lips, a kiss you bestow, encapsulated in a prison of bliss as we both embrace life's latest twist. Distance will never detour our love, because in my heart, you are a cut above. Thunderstorm could ever dampen a sunny day. No hurricane could ever pull me away. No element on earth can extinguish this fire. As I stand and whisper the universe's ear, there will never be another. That much is clear. Walking beneath a sea of midnight, our fingers entwine, our steps alight. As we pause to see love's reflected in the other, surrounded by autumn's magnificent color. The blue of your eyes mirrors the night sky. We defied the odds and made it through. At times the fates tossed up each of us to the other's unwavering wrath. Let's look at the midnight sky with fingers still entwined, with love in our hearts and oneness combined. Oh my goodness, this is such a beautiful poem. She says that she wrote this as a happy birthday poem, and that she says, I love you so very much, and she put a kissy emoji on it. Beautiful, beautiful. What did you think of the poem, Katie?
Well, when you see a title like Under a Sea of Midnight, That's so lyrical. You know you're in for a treat, don't you? That's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
I envy people who can do really good titles. I get stuck, you know, I got a poem. It's about the best I can manage. So, you know, I really envy that. I envy lots of things, but that's one of the things I would like to be able to do. But walking neath a sea of midnight, you kiss me passionately under stars bright. You read that beautifully, by the way. It's absolutely lovely.
Oh, thank you.
It
is lovely.
Yeah, it is. I love it so much. Distance will never detour our love, because in my heart cut above. Oh, well, come on now. So nice. So, yes, I think it's...
Yeah.
I've got another one. I just keep going down and finding even better and better as we go on. But, yes, that last stanza. Let's look at the midnight sky with fingers still entwined, with love in our hearts and oneness combined. Beautiful. Beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that, Sapphire Rose.
Oh, yes, it was beautiful. I really liked how she says that that when she looks at his eyes, that it just reminds her of the night, color of the night sky. And what did you think, Laurent?
No thunderstorm could ever dampen a sunny day. No hurricane could ever pull me away. No element on earth can extinguish this fire. Damn the elements and full speed ahead towards love, skillfully and beautifully expressed.
Agreed. And, then, you know, and I really liked it. You know, just like with any relationship, there are issues that you need to deal with. And, you know, you can get over, you can work through any issue with the person that you love the most. Beautiful poem. I love everybody's comments. And we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is Avalanche by Hats. So I think I shall read this one.
Okay.
Might as well do something to pay for my keep here. Avalanche. I thought you'd get that one. Avalanche.
I like it.
I'm trying to be serious now.
No,
on,
it's okay.
I love it so much. This is so much fun. Right.
It's so much fun. It is.
It is. Right. In the distance, a rumble follows the rumble. A white cloud of snow rose between the rocks. First small as an unchanging explorer, then it shook and a whole waterfall swirled on one wall. The snow ran, sliding down to a steep slope. It stroked and copied its surface, its slopes and sloping parts, the same as an eager lover, and laid lower with a thud. It tore down everything that stood in its way. When it stopped, a dark spot remained at the foot of the hill, as if the plaster falls off the wall. Same is my body after you left. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. That was a fabulous read. You know, I see that she wrote to a quote by Neruda, and I thought, you know, that she caught it, you know, how you can fall just like a storm, and you can feel your body being pressed down by eager lover, you know, that when they lay down with a thud, you know, but at the end, you know, the melancholy is, you know, she's still there and she's pressed against the ground and he's left her. Oh, my goodness. I really love that ending where her love fell like an avalanche and now she lays at the bottom of the hill. What did you think on the poem, Brett?
Sorry, I agree entirely with you. It's one thing to use an avalanche as a metaphor, but it's quite another to be able to write about it skillfully. As in the second stanza, the snow ran, sliding down a too steep slope. It stroked and copied its surface. Its slopes and sloping parts, same as an eager lover, laid lower with a thud. And, you know, the dark spot that remains at the foot of the wall, same as my body after you left. He used that like a velvet hammer. It was great.
I agree. Excellent comment. And how about you, Katie?
Oh, yes. I mean, this is really, I'm still sad. Ah, but I mean, the snow is a perfect metaphor for what was happening, because basically it was out of her control, as the snow would be if it was an avalanche. It would just be out of everybody's control, and it basically just leaves everything covered and left
crushed.
And laid low.
Yeah,
completely crushed. And that must be awful. I mean, and you can see how awful that was. That last line, "Same as my body after you left," that's just so sad. Ugh, I hope it isn't real.
I agree.
It's just a flight of fancy and not real, because I don't want her to feel so hurt. So, Hatch,
no.
Good on you. I hope everything's going wonderfully.
Agreed. Thank you. And we're ready for our next fabulous poem.
And we have Space Goo. And that had a SoundCloud.
Yeah, let me see. I believe Phil told me, and I contacted him. He could not find it. So we're going to need a reader.
Okay. Well, what the heck? If you don't mind, I'll read it. Let's give Laurent a bit of a break here. And you as well, of course.
Okay.
So here we go. Oh, no. What is that? What am I doing myself? Okay, thank you, Peewee. I should have known. I know what his writing's like by now. Wonderful, wonderful. Space goo, Peewee. Fortuitous fornicators riding on greatly exaggerated galactic gators, copiously conquering dimensionally defensive diplomatic droids with herniated hemorrhoids. Craving clusters of constellations and non-existent nebulous nations incessantly impeding the solitude of solitary somnolence society stations. Trigonometric trisomy is the key. Voluptuousness of valiumed vixens command you to clean the kitchen. Cook and clean and coleus, dignitaries deem dignity less. Lesbos through Lebanon constitutes Earth's erogenous hard-on, vestigial vector vindicated, vacuous space vagina, undertow underneath Uranus is right behind ya. Incessant on insanity, but humbling for humanity. Contemporary calculator is a meticulous masturbator, disastrously diseased by the Earth's STDs. Looking upwards, keeping nicked up knees, gelatinous goop on everything it sees. Ratio frequency for the fall, intrinsically inept right in the eyeball. Oh my God. Planetary prostitution is just a slum solution, systematically soluble. Sans some strings, be still, beholding and breathtaking, tastes like coconut water, it said. I'm told it with two things. End poem.
Such a tongue twister.
Oh, it was. Luckily, I didn't understand most of the words he used, so I am not blushing in the slightest.
You know, he said that if he took one dirty little word, dirty long word, and I got to say that he nailed it. He has a fabulous vocabulary dictionary that he just whips this stuff out, and his imagery is just powerful as it is humorous. I love that first stanza. Fortuitous fornicators riding on greatly exaggerated galactic gators, copulous conquering dimensionally defensive diplomatic droids with herniated hemorrhoids. I'm sorry. I got a big kick out of that. The imagery just tickled me pink. Oh, my God, what a tongue twister. What did you think, Laurent?
Are you on mute, Laurent?
You are so wise and discerning. So wise and discerning. Yes, I am. Was. Although, Katie, I've got to say that if you didn't know what the words meant, you wouldn't have known that there was nothing to blush about, right? I think you were going well with those words were. Now, I get the, this is a great science fiction piece about, I think, planetary prostitution and how dangerous mm-hmm. Earth's STDs are. And he takes us through a whole litany, as you mentioned earlier, Lulu, fortuitous fornicators. The trigonomic trisomy is the key, voluptuousness of valuement vixens. The lesbos to Lebanon constitutes Earth's erogenous hard-on, vacuous space, vagina, meticulous masturbator, fellatio frequency for the fall, and then the planetary prostitution. I mean, that's a thread that runs all through this. But he doesn't come right out and, you know, say it. He uses his imagery and his metaphor very, very intelligently to keep that string going all the way through it. It's highly imaginative.
No, this was just fascinating as it was interesting, and it did tickle my fancy, and congratulations on your front page pick. And what did you think, Kate?
I'm going to be very wary of reading his poems in future. He catches me every time. I keep thinking, oh, but he's wonderful. You're quite right. His grasp of vocabulary and language is incredible. And as you say, he managed to get all through that without actually mentioning the word itself. And yes, it does mm-hmm. sting, I'm told.
I do love drinking coconut water, and that's just kind of like,
Wonderful. I thought it was wonderful, Pee-wee. Thank you so much.
Agreed. And we are ready for another front page pick. I can't wait.
The next one we have is Midnight Stroll by Cedar Chapman. And Laurent, would you care to read this, please?
Certainly. I enjoy writing. I enjoy reading Cedar's work. Midnight Stroll by Cedar Chapman. It was cold. I could see my breath hover above my comforter. Winds howled and hissed through leaky windows and pipes, whistles. Only 20 feet to the bathroom. With each step, floorboards screeched in pain as if I was stepping on broken bones. Their screams, like ripping chunks of styrofoam apart, making my baby hairs stand and back molars hurt. Scratching and clawing reverberated on the ceiling. Mama told me it was mice or squirrels. I've been up there, but no droppings, just a graveyard of wooden marionettes stuffed in a Chesterfield with dead smiles, ruby-red lips frozen on their faces. The full moon cackled silently, casting its ominous beams. Bony, shadowy limbs flayed against the white hallway walls. They swayed in unison with the leaves, and the clanking wind chime, a cult-like chant with repeated rustling pentameter. I sat on the icy toilet seat, my chest pounded. I squeezed my bladder with all my might, washing my hands so rushed. The ceiling noises echoed louder, sounding almost like footsteps. I dared not look back, scurried into bed, hiding under my blanket, massaging the crucifix hanging around my neck. O Lord, my heavenly Father, give me this, my daily bread. The door creaked open. Mama stood motionless in her cotton nightgown. The silhouette of her legs peeked through with flickering moonlight. Shadows blackened the whites of her eyes. A stony grin was plastered across her cheeks. Her face was pasty white. Her shoulders square and stiff, but they were held up by strings. She reached out her rigid hand. I hesitated, but it was Mama. Our fingers touched, our hands locked. I was paralyzed. We moved down the hall against our will, like puppets guided by wires. I forced my eyeball to the corner of my socket, saw a teardrop roll down Mama's face. We floated up to the attic and slowly disappeared into the darkness. The howling and chanting grew louder. Two new dolls lay in the Chesterfield. faces painted with dead frozen smiles and ruby red lips and
body. Oh my goodness, Laurent, you did such a fabulously read of this poem. It was eerie, terrifying, and frightening. I was like, when he said he, you know, heard that noise up in the attic, and he said that scratching and clawing reverberated on the ceiling. Mama told me it was mice or squirrels. I've been up there, but no dropping. Graveyard of wooden marionettes. Dust in a chester filled with dead smiles and ruby red lips. Frozen on their faces right there. It's just like, oh my God, you know this is going to be terrifying. And it was spectacular. That I was not expecting that ending, because I was so engrossed by your reading and the imagery and the terror of this poem. This is fantastic. What did you think, Weaver?
Ooh. I'm so glad I don't have an attic. Blimey. That was so well done. Oh, I could see my breath hovering over my comforter. That was wonderful. And your reading was wonderful, Owen. Thank you so much. It carried me along, and I was wondering what the heck was going to happen next. And then we got the, oh no, that last stanza scared the bejesus out of me. The howling and chanting grew louder. Two new dolls lay in the Chesterfield, and again we have that catch up in the middle. Their faces painted with dead frozen smiles and ruby red lips. Oh my goodness me, that's scary. Oh, I'm going to have all the lights on tonight, and a couple of candles just in case. Wonderfully done. It was so well done. Thank you so much, Cedar. And
that would make a fantastic movie. What did you think, Laurent? You did such a great job of reading this.
Well, you know, it was written well. It was a competent use of the English language with great flow, and that can really help a reader. Some poems, you're not really sure where to pause or not. This one was written in such a way, I think, that it was almost intended to be read out loud, and it gripped me as I was reading it. You could pick almost any stanza, and it's a great stanza. But that one, the full moon cackled silently, casting its ominous beams. I love that. That was a great piece. This is a top shelf haunting, hitting all the right notes. It's a nice take on a marionette story that I'm sure will be added to the lexicon of the macabre.
Agreed. Fabulous comment. Thank you, Laurent. And like I said before, you did a fabulous read. And we are ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is I'm Not by Robert M. No, there should be a SoundCloud for this. It appears.
I have found it, and here we go.
This is my recital of Am Not, a poem inspired by In This Moment. I am not the light in the dark. I am the darkness abound. I am not the healing spark, but the void that will resound. I am not the fabled prince atop a brilliant steed. I am not the one to convince that I'm not what you need. I am the hallowed host where love will come to die, the destitute and bitter ghost that hearts cannot rely. I am not a comforting lie to lull your worried mind. I am just an anomalous guy with intrigue so unrefined. My heart is not pure or just despite morality's sake. I merely feel what I must in the storm of sorrow's wake. I cannot save every soul, but they are not mine to save. I'm not here to fill a hole that wayward affections crave. I am now a hollowed husk of an empath long bereft, who basks in the moonlit dusk reliving humanity's theft. Of all the things I have been, of all the things I could be, it would seem that my greatest sin was merely just being me.
Oh my goodness. That was just a fantastic poem by Robert. It's just he just pulls you softly into his voice in the darkness, you know, and here where he writes, I am now a hallowed husk of an empath long barret who bask in the moonlight dusk, relieving humanity's theft. You know, oh God, that is just so powerful. It just sinks into such sadness, you know, where he says that he's talking about how when we can fall in love with somebody and that they're toxic and, you know, and what they do to you and your psyche is just horrible, and just having to relive this. And then when you finally escape to see what's left of yourself, what did you think, Weaver?
His voice alone was just anything he reads, I think, would be so good. But that was just wonderful. I love this. All the I am nots to begin with, telling you what he's not able to do, not able to save everybody. He's not here to save everybody. But then that last, I love the last stanza. Of all the things I have done, of all the things I could be, it would seem that my greatest sin was merely just being me. Wonderful. Yeah. So clever. And again, I am now a hollowed husk of an empath long bereft who basks in the moonlit dusk, relieving humanity's theft. I think that was very special. This was a very special piece of poetry, and I really enjoyed it. You brought so much to life, and it was wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. And how about you, Lawrence? What did you think of Robert Pump?
Oh, I will echo everything that Katie just said and add, well, my heart is not pure or just, despite morality's sake. I merely feel what I must in the storm of sorrow's wake. I cannot save every soul, but they're not mine to save. I'm not here to fill a hole with wayward affection's grave. This has expert rhyming and flow. It's a brilliant exposition of self, just being me. The author makes no excuses for who he is and minces no words about others' fates or needs. Wonderful poem.
Agreed. You know, sometimes we can get involved with somebody that has problems and needs help, and then we're caught in that trap and it snaps. Oh, my goodness. And I'd like to welcome to the show Naomi. Thank you for your wonderful comment, Katie and Laurent. Did you get to hear Robert's poem, Naomi?
Sorry, I didn't. No.
Okay. We'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Okay, welcome to the show.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Welcome. And we are ready for our next poem.
Okay, our next one is Rural Gentry in Autumnal Finery. Now, Naomi, seeing as how you're here, my dear, may I put you to work? Sorry.
And okay. Written one of my prompts, too, in one of my contests.
Oh, excellent.
Wow, congratulations on that.
So this is, yes, for you.
Rural Gentry in Autumnal Finery. Delicate of me and touch. Refined as sugar cane beneath milling stones, grabbed in fiery marigold tresses with an orange sherbet glow, a gift of her aristocratic family. Cultivation has tamed it, an elegant submission, like the tulips in her mother's secret garden. Her pursed lips gently blow, coaxing a minute flame a little higher through a dainty light illumines this gentle woman. An implacable still lives where rivers run deeply. She nurtures the candle for its fire's sake, grateful that it keeps cavorting shadows at bay, gathering the gritty ends of her courage, tunneling safely within them. She heeds for her mum's Hierlum roses, saturated in sweet fragrances, Our Lady breathes entirely of the ambience of strong-willed flowers, aware she is one of them. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Naomi, of Garden Delight poem. This was absolutely beautiful. Literally feel the warmth and that fire and that picture. All that picture, the image is just gorgeous. And I like the first. I love the whole thing, especially all the way to the ending. But that the delicate mind of touch refined as sugar cane beneath milling stones, garbed in fiery marigold tresses. Oh my God, that's so beautiful. An orange sherbet glow, a gift of her as aristocratic family. This was just stunning as it was beautiful. And the poem, not only, even if I didn't see the picture, you could feel the warmth in here of time. What did you think, Katie?
That picture's beautiful, but the poetry itself is elegant. It's elegant and lovely. That's the very start. Delicate mien and touch, refined as sugar cane beneath milling stones. Beautiful. And it's so such a beautiful picture too. I mean, that's such a fun thing to write to, isn't it? I love this one. Candle for its fire's sake, grateful that it keeps cavorting shadows at bay, gathering the gritty ends of her courage, tunneling safely within them, she heads for her mum's heirloom roses. That's lovely. Yeah, I think this is just a really wonderful, a wonderful ode to her mum, I think. I think it was lovely. Thank you. Are you on mute?
Lou, you're gackling to yourself. You better come back to us.
I thought I'd lost
her.
Or
was she dropped? Was she dropped?
I think she may have done, because she's not coming back, is she? Okay, let's carry on.
Jeannie. Yes, all right. You're in charge.
Thank you, hon. This is what I've always wanted. Not. Okay, Laurent, may I have your comments, please?
Yeah, well, let me quote a couple of lines here. Garbed in fiery marigold tresses with an orange sherbet glow, a gift to her aristocratic family, cultivation has tamed it, an elegant submission like the tulips in her mother's secret garden. The way she handled hair and the wonderful hair that this character has, it's not a big deal, but I my granddaughter has hair like that. And it really, it takes some submitting. So I identified instantly with that stanza. But phrases like delicate and mean and touch, I just love her word choices. Great piece.
I agree. Her word choices are wonderful. And Naomi, your comments, please.
I think, like you said, Kate, I think it's you that said this is such an elegant write. There's so much warmth that beams here throughout every line. It's delicate, it's soft, but it's also powerful. You know, it shows the power, the strength of this woman here in this poem. So a gorgeous, gorgeous write. So deserving of a front page pick by Garden Delights here. Just beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi. That's lovely. Lovely comments. Right. I should go on to the next one, I think, as we have it here. Time's Burning Candle by GEG325. Poor Lou, she's still trying to get in. Okay. I hope she gets back soon. I'll read this one. Time's Burning Candle. Oh, lovely font. Okay. Warm beads form on an ivory taper. Tiny drips measure passing minutes. Counting each second you are gone, time doesn't exist. if you aren't in it. I never heard unnoticed clock ticks or saw soft wax slip down a candle. Silent echoes, just a prison sentence. Its duration, I am unable to handle. Rain slaps against midnight window, each drop hammering loneliness in. Mornings is a cold, lurking guillotine. At sunrise, hoax, execution begins. End poem. Okay, well, let's, Lou, are you back, my dear?
Yes, I am back. I don't know if it's going to keep dropping me because it's the line wouldn't let me through and it's making crackling noises. So I don't know if it's that snow, that cold front that's hitting up there. I didn't get to hear the poem, but what I can do is ask Laurent, what did he think of J.E.G.'s poem?
I like his poetry, or her poetry. Warm beads form on an ivory taper. Tiny drips measure passing minutes, counting each second you are gone. Time doesn't exist if you aren't in it. It's a lovely way to introduce a poem and lovely language to describe a candle, excuse me. Hope's execution begins is also a great phrase. It implies so much, the inevitable slide downhill as loneliness hammered home by rain against the midnight window. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Great. You know, I was just looking at his author notes, and he said, when love abandons you every morning, and he countdown to doom. You know, I thought he did this fabulously. You know, it's in those quiet moments when your heart is heavy that it just seems like you hear every noise and see things that you normally don't pay attention to. Like especially where he says the soft wax slipped down the candle, a silent echo just like a prison sentence in duration I am unable to handle. You know, how deeply painful is that? His imagery is, and if you hear my keyboard clicking, I want to apologize because my cat is trying to sit on my keyboard. So I, you know, excuse me if there's any clicking noises. And I would like to know what you thought of this poem, Naomi.
Yeah, I know this. No, it's so fantastic the way the juxtaposition of the, you know, the candlelight against this despair and loneliness. You know, it's the only light that's flickering in the room here, and you know, it makes all the darkness just so much more vivid and so much more visceral. Wonderful lines all throughout, you know. This is truly a sad, sad poem there. Filled with very emotive.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, Naomi. It's just like, I don't know if any of you ever been felt that, where you just haven't slept all night and you hear and see everything, and then you see the morning sun coming up and you're just going, oh my God, oh damn. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that, but I have. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, like you, it took me back to those horrible hours. Mm-hmm. You know you're not loved by the person that you love. You know, there's no getting away from it. You can't pretend it's a misunderstanding or whatever. They've gone and you are left. And it's so, so sad. And your heart aches and your body aches and you just want to scream. But you can't because you don't have the breath anymore. With all the sobbing you've been doing. So sad. But I love that first stanza. It was so emotive. Warm beads form on an ivory taper. Tiny drips measure passing minutes. Counting each second you are gone, time doesn't exist if you aren't in it. Oh, oh, so good. That's just beautiful. And no wonder it got front page pick because it's absolutely beautiful.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you.
And we are into our second hour, and for our readers in open poetry. And just to let you know, whatever poems have not been read tonight, they will definitely be read next Monday, so you can join us next Monday. Okay, because we got lots of poetry. Okay, back to you, Katie.
Thank you. Next one is Faded Land by Unruly Saint. And Lou, would you read this, please?
Mm-hmm. Faded Land by Unruly Saint. I am an outcast stuck in a never-ending cycle, cold-blooded in a mask and holding on to a memory. Can't cross, for I am endangered and earthbound to remain forever young. Love was drained from my eyes and my soul was left to hibernate in poem. Oh my goodness. Let's get some comments on this fantastic poem. What did you think, Katie?
Wow, Faded Land. That's deep. Oh, sorry, I'm just, this is just so good. It's just so, and so much said in 42 words, my goodness me. I couldn't get that much across in 42 paragraphs. I'm an outcast stuck in a never-ending cycle, cold-blooded in a mask and holding on to a memory. So earthbound, oh no, okay. Can't cross, for I'm endangered. And earthbound to remain forever young. Oh, it's not so bad. Love was drained from my eyes. A soul was left to hibernate. Yes, this is very good. Very deep. Very, another one that's pretty sad. You know, you're an outcast and you're got a mask on. Terrible. That doesn't sound like much fun.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know,
no,
it's just to be stuck and to live forever with never, ever having to hold the one that you love the most. And all it is a memory. You know, how haunting and horrifying, you know, to experience this. I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Laurent?
When you suffer that kind of a loss, you freeze almost emotionally. And I can see where cold-blooded is a nice phrase to use to describe that. And your face assumes an impenetrable mask. And you are almost self-outcast. Not outcast so much by others, but you're withdrawing. Because what is left at this point? And can't cross.
Oh,
can't cross what? The street. Can't cross over. For I'm endangered and earthbound to remain forever young. And all that is left is to withdraw completely, go to sleep, hibernate. And those are all emotions that I can see are being transmitted and felt by someone who just lost that love.
Great. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, I think Laura, you know, his comment was so amazing. He really touched on, you know, the whole emotive part of this poem. You know, it's just so touching. The emotion pours out in, you know, in what Kate said in only 42 words. My gracious, you know, the love was drained from my eyes. Soul was left to hibernate. Just an amazing, amazing brevity written here.
Great. That is not a way I would want to exist. Oh, my goodness. Fabulous comments and great brevity by Unruly Saint. Well, back to you, Katie.
Okay. We have Kettles by the one and only, our very dear, Naomi. Would you care to read this, my dear?
I tried. I put up another one, but I guess this is the one that came out. Tried to find one that nobody had read. But anyway, I guess heard this one before. Okay, Kettles. I watch the snow falling as you sit there, so still, cross from me, yet so far, silently skimming through messages on your phone. Sigh, remembering how you laughed and teased before quickly running out to buy me a shiny red kettle. First day you came for coffee because I boiled water in a pot. I slip on my boots, hat, coat, mittens, and scarf that keeps tightening around my throat. Drag the shovel to the door. Step out into more silence, breathing in just more cold, wishing you still brought me kettles and saw me, and not only that the snow has been cleared away from the steps and poem.
Oh my goodness, Naomi. I could bring tears in my eyes. I mean, because, you know, it's just sometimes the most simple acts of kindness that touch our heart, and somebody brings you a gift. And, you know, it's meant as, you know, a joke because, you know, this is how my grandmother and my mom boiled water, and, you know, in a pot. And when he brings you that kettle, that shiny red kettle, I could just see whether it's true or not, your eyes just gleam because you just have that faith. I know, but that ending, I wasn't expecting that. As we went from such joy to such sadness, and it did. It just, it touched me deeply. Breathing in just more cold, wishing you still bought me kettles and saw me, and not only that the snow has been cleared away from my steps. Oh, yeah, how breaking is that? Naomi, this was just gorgeous, as well as it was sad, beautifully penned. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, as ever, Naomi, wonderful, really wonderful. It's so heartfelt and so sad. Oh, I don't want you to be sad. You're not allowed to be sad. But yes, it was lovely. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get upset, but it was just so lovely and so heartbreaking. So don't get any more red kettles and get somebody else to clear the snow. That's my advice. It was lovely. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Katie.
Sigh, remembering how you laughed and teased before quickly running out to buy me a shiny red kettle. First day you came for coffee was I boiled water in a pot. Buys you a kettle, an easy thing by comparison. Wait, let me finish. Buys you a kettle, which is an easy thing by comparison to giving you love. Was it a gift from the heart or a gift to replace what he deemed inappropriate? For all of that, kettles is a wonderful metaphor for something received but now absent.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no criticism, just an interpretation of somebody, you can't do that. Let me get you a kettle. Well, you know, that's easy. It's an easy demonstration. But how about hanging around, you know, and see that the snow has been cleared away from my steps? That would have been a gift.
Mm-hmm.
True experience, too. But they don't always happen. It doesn't always happen that way. You would like for it to happen that way, but, you know, I think relationships are like a box of Cracker Jack. You never know what kind of prize you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're going to get some shiny new toy or you're going to get a dud, a paper boy.
Yeah.
So
my phones are all like, I have shitty relationships.
It's the Canadian air.
What makes the Canadian air?
The
snow drifts in, the snow drifts out. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'd give you a big hug right now, Naomi, without a red kettle. Oh, my. Oh, sweetie. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We're ready for our next poem, Katie. What fabulous poetry today. And don't after this, could you please put up the wants after LG?
I was looking for it and I couldn't find it. So I will find it in a moment.
It's towards the bottom. You have to refresh your page because if you don't refresh your page, you won't see the new ones that I've got put up. And also we have several poems up by Francisco. So
from whom?
Get some of those done. Frank.
Frank.
Oh, right. Okay, no problem. Will do. Yes, sir. I'm on it. Grassroots and White Bridges. And I will read that. I will read this one. LG.
Oh, I like the picture of her dog for her avatar.
Yeah. So cute. Look at that. Look at going, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? That's my street cred dog.
I used to do that with my animals. I still do. I like to put outfits on them.
So cruel. But they don't mind, do they? They don't mind. They quite like it, I'm sure.
No, because you give them little cookie snacks.
Oh, well, good idea. Bribe them. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like grassroots and white bridges. Surrounded by a stone wall, sandwiched in, the red barn serves a breakfast to her guests of country fare. A tour of fields within shares autumn maple leaves in Sunday best. Devoted to ancestral heritage, the owners fight to foster pastured strand where farmers' roots and kindred spirits bridge held sheep and herds that roamed on grassy land. In walk around in sky blue morning light, it looks as Raphael splashed her cherubim as halos spread in smoky puffs of white and shined a path to nearest rising stream. End poem, and my apologies for the stumbles.
You still did a beautiful read of Lori's poem. You know, she wrote to this picture, but I like how she was inspired by it. You know, she talks about how people come for the bed and breakfast, and I can just see them, you know, sitting outside and strolling these lands. And, you know, nowadays, especially this stanza, devoted to ancestral heritage, the owners fight to foster pasture strand when farmers' roots and kindred spirit bridge held sheep and herds that roamed on grassy lands. You know, some people, they can, these beautiful pastures and farmhouses, and they keep them alive by making them into breakfast nooks for people to come and bed and breakfast. And I thought this was beautifully penned, you know, because so much of ancestral land has been ruined. And it was just beautiful to just, think about these sheep being out there roaming those beautiful ancestral grassy lands. What did you think, Laurette?
Well, apart from the obvious skill in which the poem was written, it's if the average person has never lived in the country on ancestral land, they will never know how land can get into your blood as thoroughly as anything else. You become part of it. It is part of you, and the struggle that people have, as you said, to set aside land, which is otherwise would be used for what? Parking lot, mall, perhaps. No, it's a great piece. I love the
manufacturing.
Message. I love the imagery.
Mm-hmm. Great. Fantastic comment, Laurent. And how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, this is just amazing. The imagery throughout is just, you know, superb, especially in that last stanza, you know, so well written. And, you know, here we green zone gray areas. I don't know if you do that in the States, but you can't build on it because it's green zoned. So it's for agriculture. You know, it keeps our land and our forests and our trees, and you know, that's why I guess Canada has so many great open spaces. But you know, we see this a lot, you know, and bed and breakfast is,
you guys
yeah.
need more people.
Yeah, we need more people. But you know, less people, less problems. But you know, this is just beautiful, amazing, amazing right here.
Great. And what did you think? And you did such a gorgeous read, Katie, on this poem. What did you think of the poem?
I thought it was wonderful. As I say, I'm sorry I stumbled a bit, but it does happen. And I got to open to it. Sometimes my brain goes on, splits on me, and goes off in a different angle. So it's, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I thought it was absolutely lovely. I think the idea of being able to farm your own land, keep your own animals, is just it must be an incredibly hard life. I wouldn't think for one second that it was easy. And I doubt very much if I could do it, but I think it's a wonderful ethos to be able to do something like that and keep it devoted to ancestral heritage. Oh, having heritage must be damn good. Yes. So I think that idea, Naomi, about having green patches, what did you call it? Green zones. No?
Correct.
Brilliant idea, I think it should be. I mean, people make comments about Scotland. When they come here and go up to the Highlands, all they say is, there's nobody here. No, there is nobody here, because most of it is owned by English people. Yeah, yeah, but it's not owned by the Scots, it's owned by the English. So that gets up our craw a little bit, I think. I was once...
Well, let me tell you, I totally understand that.
Yes.
Especially with Native American land, I understand.
Of course you would. I mean, you've got it even worse. I mean, we didn't have anything like you had to deal with. We were just thrown out of our land. You know, that was it. Apart from all the fighting they did among the clans. But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I was camping once beside a beautiful loch, and I'd put my little tent up, and before I knew it, two policemen were there, and I'm thinking,
really?
This was 6 o'clock in the morning. I had just woken up, and there was these two policemen, and they said, you'll have to move. And I said, why? This is private land. I said, where does it say it's private? What? I said, well, where's the sign telling me it's private land? Because I don't see one. Oh, but the laird. I said, well, let the laird come down and tell me himself that he wants me to move, because I'm not moving. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, mate. I've not even had my breakfast. Oh, dear. They were not happy. They weren't used to bulky little women. But, yeah, I got my way, though. I stayed. But I thought, this is beautiful. This just brought me right back to that memory of land being around you and you know, the nature and everything. I just thought it was very well done. Thank you.
Yeah. It just seems like your lungs open up and you're free and your spirit's just right. Yeah, I agree. But I'm glad you stayed and got to have your hot cup of coffee, because I can't – no day is a good day without two cups of hot coffee.
Oh, yes, I agree. I agree.
And we are ready for the next poem.
And the next poem we have, Pilgrims and Indians by Laurent Yvan. I can't say your surname very well. I do apologize. But could you read this for us, please?
You do just fine. Pilgrims and Indians. Of pilgrims and Indians we learned about in school at an early age, exemplifying qualities of the Golden Rule. Noble red men and women kept the starving settlers alive, taught them how to plant Three Sisters in order to survive. What thanks did they receive? Was it our full appreciation, considering what little remains of a once mighty Indian nation? Praise be for slight restraint. We didn't kill them all. westward bound, we forged rutted paths for today's endless concrete sprawl. Above herds of bison with thundering hooves, soaring eagles once streamed across the sky. Nature's absent majesties, too few voices now decry. We placed the red man where convenient outcasts in a gilded cage, robbed an entire race of hope, left displaced in muted rage. Drugs and alcohol are the easy comforts of the day, wreaking havoc among the youth, century of generational decay. Voices raised against the teaching of this not-so-subtle genocide. Black facts of murder and scalps are not afraid to hide. Maize of Thanksgiving, tassels of golden wheat recall good fellowship. Give thanks for our abundance, but let history be free of censorship. End poem.
Oh, my goodness, Lunt. I have got to say, this is the truth of, seriously, what happened during the pilgrims and the ships coming over. They were dying. They didn't know how to live on the land, and the Indians taught them how to live with the three sisters. Some of them put fish, but mostly they taught them that, you know, to grow their beans and corn and squash together. And what, like you were bringing out, what thanks did they get? Nothing. And, you know, the cruelty of, this is just a subject that upsets me because we have a statue down here of the Spanish conquistadors where when they were here, that's like they would give Thanksgiving for the Christ thing. They would cut off the Indians' hands and feet and put them in a basket. You know, there's a lot just history that is just painful. And right here where you say, nature's absent majesties, too few voices now decry, replace the red men where convenient outcast in a gilded cage. You know, they took them to grounds where, yes, the grass was yellow, but nothing would grow. They took the fertile grounds, and they just had to scrounge. I right now, I'm kind of like a little upset because this was
but
that's history, and history is painful. And, you know, it's not all turkey and feathers and yams and, you know, how is it, you know, that's why so many Native Americans do not celebrate the way that they were treated. And I thought that you penned this wonderfully. I enjoyed it very much because, you know, that's where the alcohol came from. You know, they just, drugs and alcohol, and now it's still to this day, there's still so much issues where customs and traditions and even the language has been destroyed. You know, especially, I don't know if everybody's been watching the news, but Naomi might know something about this, about all those Catholic schools in Canada where they cut all their hair off, which to the Native American, the hair is sacred. They took away their names. They were beat. If they spoke their native tongue, they had, you know, they no longer spoke it. And many of them were sexually abused and beat and buried all around the church. And it's just, it's horrible. But this is history. And I want to thank you for writing this. And, you know, it was like a blunt sword, but it's the truth. Thank you, Laurent. I love you.
You're welcome. Me too.
What did you think of his poem, Katie?
It was beautifully written, Laurent. It told about things that everybody should be aware of. I don't believe anybody should forget anything of this magnitude that happened, because we learn from our mistakes, hopefully. Although I don't have a great deal of faith in mankind, if I have to be honest. I am really pleased that I'm not much longer for this earth, because I'm really, really fed up with it. Mistake after mistake, horror after horror, exactly what happened to the poor Native Americans. I mean, and there is no excuse for it. The Inuits, they're the same. Drugs and alcohol have completely annihilated any of the values these people might have had. Beautifully written and had to be said, but so bloody sad and so makes me so angry. So I can only begin to understand how you feel, Luya, because it's, but thank you.
It is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent comment, Teddy. And Naomi, comment, please.
Oh, yeah, this is, so powerful and, you know, just right in your face, you know, the truth of all the horrors that you know, we put the Native American Indians through, we just, you know, tried to assimilate them completely, you know, knocked out their culture, forged them into what we wanted them to be, to become the nice little English, you know, person. Or French, you know, whatever, or American, you know, giving up their, taking away, stealing, you know, stealing away their lands, stealing away everything. You know, it started here where they, you know, Indians used to survive from sharing. They used to trade, and you know, the first rule that they made here, and I don't know about the States, but in Canada here, they took away their right to share and to trade, and that was the first thing, you know, the downfall started. And you know, you just, you know, by so many things they did, you know, the stories of giving them contaminated blankets. The army passed them out blankets, I think, with little pox, and, you know,
yeah, smallpox.
Smallpox, yeah, just to kill them off, you know. So just horrifying. And, you know, this is a great, great poem, so that we don't forget, and we remember, you know, the all the horrifying things that went on. And, you know, they deserve our respect and our acknowledgement, because they were there first, and this is their land. And, you know, we owe them so much. So, just an excellent, amazing, amazing right here. Okay.
Thank you. May I add one thing?
Yes, I was going to ask you, would you like to add something to your poem?
I read your mind. When I was very young, I heard a song by Buffy Sinclair called "My Country, 'Tis of Thee, You Are Dying." And if you have never heard this before, given the poem that I wrote, You should listen to it. It is the thing that awoke me, among all other things, to the injustices of man and how we treated the American Indian. "My Country, 'Tis of Thee, You Are Dying" by Buffy Saint.
Will you do me a favor? Would you send me a private message with that link and that name? I'd appreciate it.
I will send you a link to the song.
Okay, that would be fabulous. Ooh, I can't wait. Thank you, Laurent. I don't think I've heard of him, but I would like, you know, to hear.
He's an American Indian folk singer.
Oh, okay. All right. Can't wait to. Thank you. And now we're back to you, Katie.
Oh boy.
Okay. Your Name in My Soul by Poetic Picasso. And there should be a sound cloud.
I am looking. your name in my song?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Here we go.
It must be the moonlight gleam in your exotic eyes, a smile reflecting like a crystal, your sunlust, your beauty, imbued in the tincture of the purity of your sparkling star, guiding me to your shimmer in the nocturnal shade. It must be the morning dawn awakening me to your divinity, a sound of my voice whispering softly into your timid ear, accompanied by the dulcet tone from the passionate string of a violin, serenading you with the words from the language of lovers. I want to dip you in the evening seduction of the Mediterranean Sea, bathe with you in the rising tide of our sensuality, engulf you within the splash and shiver of my crescendo, touch your lips with the surging wave of my eternal romance. I want to swoon you with just the poetic verse of my art, make you believe in the true magic of love once more, unfold the blossoming petals of your white waxy jasmine. Unveil the intimate secrets to the chamber of your heart. I want to carve your name in my soul, be the man that imbibes from your love. I want to imprint upon your flesh the climatic dew of my wet kiss. Quiero grabar tu nombre en mi alma, ser el hombre que bebe de tu amor. Quiero imprimir en tu carne el rocío culminante de mi beso húmedo.
I have got to say, this is one of the most beautiful poems I've ever seen penned. It's mixed into the Spanish sensuality of the Mediterranean Sea, but at the same time, it was just entwined into the nostalgic imagery and verbs. I mean, there's just, it's just going to be so difficult for me to pick what lines I like the most. You know, you start off, it must be the moonlight gleam in your exotic eyes, the smile reflecting like a crystal, your celestial beauty. And then, you know, this, oh my goodness, you know, accompanied by the dulcet tone, the passionate string of violin, serenading you with the words from the language of lovers. And then you talk about dipping in the Mediterranean Sea. And this right here, where you said, I want to swoon you with just the poetic verse of my art, make you believe in the true magic of love once more. Oh, it's just, this is absolutely stunningly beautiful from the beginning to the end. And then the softness of your voice just made it even more special, you know, where you talk about, you know, you want to imprint your, you know, I want to imprint your flesh, the climatic dew of my wet kisses. Ooh, oh my goodness. Oh, who would not fall in love with this poem? Katie, what did you think of Frank's poem?
I agree with everything you said. What a beautiful, beautiful poem. So seductive. So sensual. Oh, I love the Mediterranean Sea, and especially in the evening. So that, for me, is perfect. I want to dip you in the evening seduction of the Mediterranean Sea, bathe with you in the rising tides of our sensuality, and engulf you within the splashing shivers of my crescendo. Beautifully penned, beautifully read, and I found it very, very interesting. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Agreed. And what did you think, Zoran?
Well, I had the pleasure of growing up in a little town in the south of France called Agen, which is fairly close to the Mediterranean. And my mother has pictures of me running nude up at the age of 3 with long girl-like locks across the beaches of the Mediterranean Sea. But I will say this. If you've ever been to the Mediterranean, most of the beaches are topless. And you're not topless at just any beach. But that beach, it does something to you. So when he says, I want to dip you in the evening seduction of the Mediterranean Sea, that image is to me crystal clear. Another phrase that caught my attention, guiding me to your shimmer in the nocturnal shade, was really well turned out. I love the combination of the two words together, nocturnal shade. All the way through here are equally intelligent and well-written and emotional and sensual phrases. One of the things I like best about it is that sometimes Frank's poems can be a little dense in terms of the number of lines and the number of words, because he's got a wonderful vocabulary. But here we have something elegantly simple in couplets. Mm-hmm. And I like the separation of the images all the way through here. It really adds to the impact that the piece has. Well done.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Naomi?
I second Laurent on that, you know. I love the couplets here. You know, each image separated and, you know, makes it more vivid. And, you know, of course it's sensual, it's seductive, it's so, so sultry. But there's also what I love about is the tenderness and the softness that flows from peace, you know. I want to carve your name in my soul, be the man that imbibes you from your love. I want to imprint upon your flesh the climatic dew of my wet kiss. You know, and in the Spanish, just a beautiful flow throughout it all. Just sublime. Keep saying it in French. Sublime, you know, rendition here of a pure, soft, and subtle sensuality throughout. So bravo, Frank. Beautiful, beautiful, right?
Agreed. Thank you so much, Frank. And thank you, everyone, for your lovely comments. And we are back to Katie.
Oh, yes. And we have another SoundCloud, Very Nearly Roses by Martha Gettle.
Okay. You make a look for her. Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to find it.
No problem. No hurry. No hurry.
Here she is.
Just love it.
I found her. Very Nearly Roses by Martha Gettle. We almost made it, you and I. We almost missed goodbye. I thought our love would see us through. We came so close, me and you. I never loved anyone like I loved you before. And I know I'll never love like that again anymore. And as the door behind us closes, it's sad to think We were very nearly roses. Very nearly roses, you and me. Our love was as strong as it could be. That time was stronger in the end. There was too much that love couldn't mend. I really thought we could make it. Whatever life brought, we could take it. Very nearly roses, what can I say? Very nearly roses, but it all slipped away. Very nearly roses, you and me. Our love was as strong as it could be. But time was stronger in the end. There was too much that love couldn't mend. Now I stand here and wonder why and how we could have ended in goodbye. Very nearly roses is cold comfort to me. Very nearly roses, but still you chose to leave.
Wow, Martha, you know, you just take me back to the days when I would, you know, listen to our family, you know, take the guitar out on the farm and you know, just start playing the lyrics of Heartbreak, and she does that so well. I mean, this is, for me, reading this is deeply painful because, you know, you fall in love with somebody and you plan your life together and the things you want to do together, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, this is the one. This is my soulmate. This is the one I will be with forever. And then you find out that it's not going to work out, and that just, she so painfully expressed it. I never loved anyone like I loved you before, and I know I'll never love that again anymore. And as the door behind us closes, it's sad to think we were very nearly roses. Oh, painful. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, you've got the right handle on this one, definitely. So painful. So, and I must admit, I did enjoy hearing Martha sing again. I haven't heard her for quite a while, and it was great. She put so much of her thoughts and her feelings into it. I think it's wonderful. But that, I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful line. Very nearly roses, you and me.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, isn't it, really? Just beautiful.
I think so.
Our love was as strong as it could be, but time was stronger in the end. There was too much that love couldn't mend. Oh, my goodness me. Yes. Very, very sad, but beautifully penned. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Martha.
Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent?
Martha has great skill as a lyricist. I've often wondered what a professional singer with a band could do with her lyrics. They are, to me, exactly what a popular song in the genre should be. It's got a great hook, as it was mentioned, Very Nearly Roses. That is really excellent, and it flows. I really thought we would make it. Whatever life brought, we could take it. Very nearly roses, what can I say? Very nearly roses, but it all slipped away. That is just, you know, it's competent, it's professional, it's moving. Yeah, I like it, obviously.
Me too. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I love the idea of very nearly roses, you and me. There's just something about that very nearly roses. You know, that's an awesome line there, you know, awesome imagery and an awesome, clever concept, very nearly roses. And like Laurent said, this is wonderful. You know, song quality, you know, it flows, the beautifully, the rhythm is there. As most of her songs, it's really, really great, great writing. So bravo, Martha. Awesome, awesome right here. So touching.
Agreed. It is. Thank you for your wonderful comments, and thank you, Martha. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okie dokie. Right, we have The Meaning of a Kiss by Daniel Lisino. And if nobody objects too much, I'd like to read this one. Meaning of a Kiss. Each day sunlight fuels fires of love that burn through the night. As time carries the eternal flame with graceful wings, as a dove through moonlight. Love is not the lie, passion lost. It is the entanglement of these in the truth of embrace. Embrace of body, mind, and spirit, Trinity most holy to those in love. And to understand each touch from her as a diary page of emotion, each kiss a message only I can decode. Every smile and look, a masterpiece painting only I can see. Love's flame eternal shows the light. End poem.
Oh, you did such a beautiful read of Daniel's poem. I mean, this is another beautiful love poem. You know, I really loved this stanza. And to understand each touch from her as a diary page of emotion, each kiss a message only I can decode, every smile and look a masterpiece painting only I can see. You know, you can literally see that connection between a couple where you can read their emotions on their face and body and their eyes. And, you know, that kiss, that, you know, just like, you know, I want you. And, you know, that smile that when you're in love with somebody, how you look at them, how it just sears into your mind this picture of them, and it never goes away. It's a relationship that builds and builds on top of these beautiful emotions. Oh, beautiful poem, Daniel. What did you think, Laurent?
Love is not the lies of passion and lust. It is the entanglement of those in the truth of embrace. Embrace of body, mind, and spirit. Trinity most holy to those in love. Hey, Daniel has commendable insight. Love is not the lies of passion and lust. Yeah, but it's often conflated with it. He understands love. Beautifully penned.
I agree. It was a beautiful pen. And what did you think, Naomi?
Naomi, are you on mute?
Actually,
she dropped. So I don't know, because I've been having problems with the site tonight. I don't know if she dropped or not, but just in case, because I know she's busy with family and grandkids. Call back if you got drops, and if not, thank you for joining us. Okay, Katie, we're back to you.
Well, I love reading his work. Daniel's got this certain touch. The meaning and the truth shines through, I think, with everything he writes.
Yeah.
He puts so much into, and I like you, Laurent, I picked that. Love is not the lies of passion and lust. I thought that was beautifully done. But that last two lines, love's flame eternal shows the light, just really beautiful. I think every smile and look a masterpiece painting only I can see. Well, I think your work is wonderful, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
She's giving us one that we just
Katie, we just did, we just read that one.
I've been leaping up and down the pages so much at the moment, and I had forgotten we'd already done that one. Oh, dear. Okay.
That's okay. Don't worry. Many of us do that all the time.
I get kind of lost. I think, which one have we had? I hadn't even remembered that one. That's terrible. Oh, dear.
Well, you would if we started talking about the breakfast neck.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't opened it. That's why I had no, yeah. Oh, sorry. I've got myself mixed up again now. Oh, dear. Okay, no problem. I can get this together. Don't worry. No panic. Don't panic. I'm talking to myself. Don't panic. We have Written on My Skin by Jim of Earth. And Laurent, would you read this, please?
Avec plaisir.
Oh, very
written
good.
On My Skin. Jim of Earth. Let your eyes show true intentions. Feel your way with gentle touch from my skin. Fuse broken heartstrings to the palate. Let those healing fingertips begin. Blemished canvas quivers innocence, awaiting secret references unseen. Cursive letters mark the loneliness. Seductive language once obscene. Emerging rainbows bold enough to notice hide the scribbled runes that you make. Professing love in notes of magic, words that stirred my world awake. Juices flow from subtle senses, releasing pheromones trapped within. Heated breath reveals the message been written on my skin. End poem.
Oh, you did such a fabulous job in reading this poem by James. And I have got to say, my canvas quivers innocence, awaiting secret references unseen.
Yeah.
Cursive letters mark the loneliness. A seductive language once obscene. Oh, my goodness. You know, I do believe that there are lovers that when they come together, because all of us at one time or another have blemishes, and that innocence of exposing yourself to them is frightening, but it's sultry and it's seductive. And then when you expose yourself and it can feel the pain, and right there it says cursive letters marked in loneliness, the loneliness that we've been waiting for that someone to fill us, and a seductive language once unseen. Sex and sensuality isn't always a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. To me, it is an art. It is truly an art that, like this emerging rainbow, that person just burns and infuses inside of your mind and body, where you just can't stop thinking of them. Like you said, professing love in notes of magic. Oh, this is a good poem. You've read it so well, Laurent. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, that was a beautiful read. It was just lovely and very smooth, which I like, which shows to me that this has been written very well. If it's easy to read, that means it's beautifully penned and it makes it so much nicer. I love that last stanza, though. Juices flow from subtle senses, releasing pheromones trapped within. Heated breath reveals the message that's been written on my skin. Oh, wow. Very, very, very good. Oh, we are so lucky. What a wonderful evening we've had. So many beautiful pieces of poetry. I mean, wow, I've been laughing, I've been crying, I've been titillated. Wow, it's like a good weekend at my house.
And Laurent, you did such a beautiful job in reading Jim's poem. What did you think?
Well, I gotta say, I'm mutually titillated. How's that? Okay. blemished canvas, quivers innocence, the stanza you quoted. Boy, high marks to the poet. This is a very intelligent write. and his imagery is top-notch. It has a wonderful rhythm to it. It really does.
I agree. And when she told you that, when Katie told you that she loved the way you read this so smoothly, right away Michael Jackson came in my head and I started singing Smooth Criminal.
There you go.
Oh, Laurent. Oh, Laurent, yes, you are titillating us tonight with your beautiful voice and read. And I always love hearing you read. I have got to say I'm addicted to it. And back to you, Katie.
Okay, we have Frenemy by Asidiana. Care to read this, Liu?
Okay. I don't know why my computer goes all the way down to the bottom of the page and I have to scroll up past
a bunch
annoying.
Of things.
Oh, it is annoying. Okay. And this is titled Frenemy by Asidiana. And she's also one of our hosts who has a fantastic radio show, Frenemy. We have a love-hate relationship, heavy on the hate, not because I'm heavy, which people assume is the issue. She grew up too fast. I wasn't ready. She couldn't see what was right in front of her. I lost opportunities, shut down when I needed her, just abandoned me in anxiety. She locked me in the bathroom, overreacting to my food choices. She had a gravitational pull that attracted the wrong guys, but never let me enjoy them. She was incapable of relaxing. She tortured me, stripped me of my confidence, delayed my dreams, stole all the attention. After 3.5 decades, I'm finally the one in charge, and she serves me. Imperfect though she is, I'm starting to love her. End poem. And we have 90 seconds, so let's get some quick comments on this fantastic poem by Asidiana. Katie?
Yeah, I love the fact that she's talking about her own body and what she had to do to learn to love herself. I think this is absolutely wonderful, and it got me right from the beginning. Wonderfully done.
Agreed. Thank you. And how about you, Laurent?
This is a great piece. She was at war with herself, but she made peace. The two are now one, and she loves herself. And I love that understanding.
Yeah, and it is, you know, we tend to beat up on ourselves more than anybody else can. And when we realize what we're doing and we see who we truly are, the loving person that we are, the person who gives, the person who's always there for everybody, and then we start realizing we turn that love inside out, from the outside inward. This was beautiful, Athanasia, and I really enjoyed it. I want to thank everybody for calling the show. Katie, Laurent, and Naomi, and for Frank, hanging out on the board. I love all of you guys. Buenas noches y besotes a todos. Big kisses to everybody.
Thank you. It's wonderful. It was a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a good time, and it was good to have you, Laurent.
Good to be here. Good to be here. Be a good cheer.
November 4th
was a good day.
Good to hear you.
Good to have you, Smooth Criminal. Oh, man, he does. He's got a smooth voice. Like,
I'll send that mic. I'm going to go find it right now.
Okay. All right. Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night,
darling. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a good evening, everybody.
You too. Good night.
Good night. Now you don't hang me up.